This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a beautiful Wednesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, the heat is on. Halfway through the year, getting ready to turn the page to July, and a lot to get to here. But first, in the great city of Cleveland, I mean, we're getting some record heat here. How is it over there for you guys?
Yeah, sweltering, to say the least. We'll be in the triple digits with the heat index today and tomorrow. The heat dome, it's certainly not surrounding the Cleveland Guardians, that's for sure. But it is definitely surrounding this fine area. We'll get through it. A lot of intrigue this weekend with the celebration of these United States turning 250 years old. We got rain in the forecast, so hopefully that does not rain out the fireworks. I would imagine many of the neighbors will take matters into their own hands because why wouldn't you to celebrate the greatest country in the world and its birthday here over the weekend?
Yeah, we got to remember how many outs there are right now in Cleveland, apparently, these days. We'll get to all that here later on in the program. We do have a great one here on the docket today. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to join us, as he does each and every Wednesday, get his thoughts on what's going on here with the NBA and some changing places there. Anthony DeBundo, kind enough to join us once again as we keep going deeper and deeper into the World Cup. And Max Goodman is going to rejoin the program today, talk all things New York sports. We'll try to limit the Mets talk here and talk about what the Yankees, boy, kind of a free fall for them as well. And it's our Wednesdays with Wes. Yes, maybe not the sexiest event on the PGA Tour this year, but still money to be made. So our guy Wes will be here with us to break down the John Deere Classic. But I mentioned some changing places. And where is the king going to play? That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Eight years a Laker, no more. LeBron James will take his wares elsewhere next year and has told the team early. And depending on what you hear and what you believe, Jensen, he did this out of the courtesy of his heart to let the Lakers know his decision earlier. And then we heard some rumors that maybe he was disrespected about what the offer was going to be from the Lakers. So we don't know the here nor there, but we do know this, Jensen. He is not going to be back in La La Land next year.
Yeah, I would check sources on that one. Pretty sure the Laker ownership had told him about a year ago, this is no longer your team, no longer your town. Thank you for your contributions, but please be on your way. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. The cynicism, the narcissism will never leave one of the most controversial, greatest to ever do it players in our league's history. For what it's worth, Dave, now the sweepstakes are on. He says he's going to wait and get all the offers. No one cares how long you wait, LeBron. But in the betting market, it's looking as though Golden State, seeing some of the prediction markets having the Warriors as the top choice, even over overnight, Dave, seeing on Polymarket that Golden State has now risen to about a 47% chance to be the destination for LeBron James in this upcoming season. The Cavaliers here in Cleveland, 30% chance in second, the Miami Heat at 13%. So interested to see where that ends up going. Already a lot of liquidity in the market. If you are into the prediction market side of trying to see where LeBron will be next, but either way, the king will no longer be there and will abdicate his throne effective immediately.
And again, I'm with you on that. When it comes to LeBron, he's got some issues, certainly, that people can point poke some holes in for sure. But we all should say, wherever he's gone, especially the return to Cleveland, bringing them a championship, did it in Miami, 1-1 in L.A. Does he have one more in him? We'll find out if there is one more run for the king, wherever that might be. Speaking of championships, how about this reunion? Didn't have this on the bingo card. Kawhi Leonard is going back to the Knicks in Toronto, and arguably, you know, one of their greatest runs, certainly in their franchise history, with Kawhi to win a title, and now a blockbuster deal with the Clippers. And again, depending on what you believe, some say the Clippers fleeced Toronto in this reunion. What do you make of Kawhi going back to Toronto?
Yeah, interesting, right? And also, I think this is Toronto thinking that they can make a play now in an opportunity to be able to find their way into the crowded Eastern Conference pecking order. As I look at it, my grade for the Raptors, Dave, would be a B since we're in summer school right now. You know, the obvious question is, how many games are you going to get? How much load management can you possibly have for a player making an obscene amount of money, yet he usually misses upwards of 30 games a year? So if it is that number, it's an absolute disaster for the Toronto Raptors. I would give the Clippers, spoiler alert, they may be one of the stock up, stock down candidates. I should give them an A minus, man. You get the picks, you get the opportunity to get out from underneath a guy you couldn't rely upon. And I'll tell you, I think when we asked Jonathan Von Tobel about this upcoming later in the show, I'd be surprised if JVT wasn't a little bit more bullish on the Clippers' outlook, both short-term and long-term.
This has affected the markets rather significantly. We know the Celtics are still the short betting choice here to win the East next year, which is interesting because we don't know about Brown and what he can do for you in Boston. They're plus 260. The Knicks, the reigning defendings, at plus 320. And then there are the Raptors right there slotted with Kawhi at 8-1. That is a rather significant move here this morning. Miami falling back to the four spot. I know Detroit's a team you had your eye on last year, $9 betting underdog, and Cleveland is plus 950 before you get to the double digits in the Eastern Conference. Three more have punched their tickets to the round of 16 in the World Cup. It's been enthralling. United States will be back on the pitch tonight against Bosnia-Herzegovina, but it's Norway, France, and Mexico. And maybe Norway was the one that was pushed the most by Ivory Coast in their 2-1 win, and not much resistance from Mexico or France yesterday.
Yeah, had it handicapped to a T. If you tuned in yesterday, nailed the Norway side, the over 2.5, both teams to score. Dave even hit a 7-1 exact score on Norway, 2-1, as they are victorious over Ivory Coast. That now lands them in a round of 16 matchup with Brazil on July 5th. France, boy, did they look the part. They could have named their number. Yeah. If not for a couple of hits off the goalposts, this thing could have been 5-0 the way it was going. But France marches on. They play on Independence Day against Paraguay, and that will be at 5 o'clock. And then Mexico. This was exactly what our English friends did not want to see happen. A very class and fully dominant win over Ecuador. They advance 2-0. They now await what we would believe, Dave, in the first match today at high noon, the winner of England and the DR Congo. Should it transpire, my goodness gracious, Mexico does not lose at the Estadio Azteca. It was a scene last night. Imagine what July 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern could look like if it is the Three Lions against El Tre. Could be unbelievable theater, to say the least.
France was an $8 betting favorite against the Swedes yesterday and looked the part, as you mentioned. We're a $7 betting favorite tonight against Bosnia-Herzegovina. So we'd love to have one of those pushovers like we saw yesterday for France. We'll find out if that's going to be the case tonight. And, of course, we'll talk much more about that with Anthony DeBundo coming up later on in the program. The Brendan Sorsby saga, I don't know if it's over, but he says he will not sue the NFL. We're going to keep this out of courts of Lubbock, apparently, and it's going to turn his attention now to the traditional 2027 draft that will come up next spring. And, of course, that meant the supplemental draft. The NFL said, we're not going to hold one for you. So, Jensen, does this sound like the young man is saying, all right, I got to get my affairs in order. We're going to do it the traditional route. You guys will see me in, about 10 months.
Dave, this reminds me of Sopranos, right? When you get people in the room and they've asked for forgiveness or try and kiss the ring, if you will. I think Brendan Sorsby was I believe the phrase in Inspector, for you James Bond fans, you're a kite flying in a hurricane, Mr. Bond. And that is exactly what Brendan Sorsby's ill-advised potential lawsuit would have been against the Shield and the army of lawyers. What he would have been made an example of would have been just absolute ridiculousness. So here's the good thing, Dave. All right, go ahead, figure yourself out, clean up the image part of it, right? You get a year to be able to be like, hey, I'm a changed man. And how many times have we seen reclamation projects as far as the image goes? And to be fair, Dave, there have been people that have done far worse far worse that have gotten second, third chances. So I would take this young man an opportunity to really enhance your game, get with some of the quarterback greats that are doing those clinics and that are doing those camps, and find your way to be a distinct difference maker come draft day in 2027.
I've always said if we could just start a PR firm for common sense. I think that's great common sense to give the young man right there. You got a lot of time. You're still young. They'll give you a second chance. Just take the time to kind of earn it and get back into the good graces here of the NFL. It's going to take some time. Serena Williams, I was enthralled by this match yesterday. She does not win her comeback match against Maya Joint in the first round of Wimbledon. Man, Jensen, it's just something about it. I mean, she's 44 now, right? And arguably the greatest of all time. I know Martina Navratilova there certainly on Wimbledon grass would have something to say about that. But to see her back out there pushing it to a third set, looked like she was going to pull this thing out, and then just kind of ran out of steam, as I guess you could expect without that competitive edge. But Jensen, for me, I never retire greats. I found this enjoyable. I don't know what's out of the realm of possibility that if we see her again, say at a U.S. Open coming up in September, that she might not look even better.
Yeah, we'll see, right? And you could tell that Maya Joint, having been in form, was going to be able to outlast Serena there, running out of gas. I would have loved to have heard from Serena Williams after the match, apparently unavailable for a press conference or any comments to the media. We'll hope to get a comment maybe at some point in the future. However, nice little money line cash for us on Maya Joint there to move on. Very intrigued to see now as we enter day three, day four here of Wimbledon, some interesting moves on both the men's and the women's draw. Or as they say, Dave, the gentlemen and ladies. Make sure we get there that we right. Go. Don't want to offend anybody across the pond.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the Masters, they're not fans, they're patrons. Everything is different patrons. A little bit at Wimbledon and certainly at the Masters. Everybody, we look at a little bit differently. How do we look at LeBron? Where are we going to see LeBron James? Let's talk about the Kings, some markets out there for him. That's next right here, VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
This 4th of July, not just any 4th of July, but our big 250, we're doing something here at VSiN we rarely do. A multi-year VSiN Pro subscription offer. So for 1 week, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July 2028, people. That's nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. You're going to get our NFL season betting guides, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide, season preview, and VSiN Pro feature we release over the next 2 years. But do not wait. This offer will not last forever, not very long. This special 4th of July offer will disappear on the 7th of July. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we do great offers here all the time. I don't know that they're going to get any bigger and better than this one. I like the fact that we're in the spirit of celebrating our 250 with a great deal like this.
Yeah, and just a reminder, because I was getting some feedback and some requests on social media. For you active VSiN Pro subscribers, you are eligible for this special. All we'll do is just from your date of expiration, you'll be extended those 2 calendar years. So if you're already an existing VSiN Pro subscriber, you are eligible for the same 70% off for that $299. It's 2 years added on to your expiration date. Totally agree, 100%. What a birthday present to give you and continue to fund capitalism, Dave, of these great United States.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm really glad you made that point because people have asked about this one. Like, hey, is this and like, hey, if you're already in, Bill 80's got you covered. Don't worry about that. That is a great deal right now. I don't know what kind of deal teams are going to get for LeBron James out there. Is it going to be a deal? Will he be on the cheap? Is he willing to go to Golden State, try to make things work here, Jensen? Look, the resume speaks for itself. We can say whatever we want to say about LeBron. It's been an amazing career. I don't know how, when you look at it here in totality, what he did in L.A., I don't know if it's going to make him an all-time Laker. I don't think it will. But in totality of his career, it's arguably the best ever. Now, in L.A., 8 years, did get them the bubble championship, finals MVP of that one. 6 times they made the postseason in his 8 years, made the All-Star team all 8 years, 7 times all NBA, averaged almost 26 and 8 rebounds and almost 8 assists a game. So, Jensen, the numbers look gaudy. They would look worthy of a guy that we'd say is, if not the greatest of all time, certainly on that short list of guys in that conversation. Now, this version of LeBron, now he was very good last year. I thought quietly, you know, without Luka, I thought he did a pretty good job of keeping the guys together, but not a guy at this age, Jensen, that you can say, all right, we can build a team around and make a championship run. As a component of a championship team, absolutely. But how do you view this version of the King wherever he might be next year?
I mean, again, let's take the Warriors, because right now, if you look at prediction markets, they are the top destination. Okay. And it's nearly 50% right now on Poly Market. The Cavaliers are second at 30%. The rumor out of the LBJ camp is that he's going to take time, and this is a happiness, a quality of life decision. Ineffectiveness being the end of his run, he'll be a surefire Hall of Famer, will continue to be talked about as one of the greats to ever do it. I would say in the nuts and bolts part of it, I think Channing Frye was on a network yesterday and kind of joked of the AARP lineup that the Warriors could be running out there. They've already had their issues with fatigue and injuries. You're not really changing anything if you're adding a LeBron James and or an Anthony Davis with Steph Curry. They're all, over the halfway point of their prime. And obviously we know some of them in Steph and LeBron towards the end of theirs, as far as what they're capable of doing. And Dave, it goes back to what I mentioned yesterday. How in the hell are they beating the Spurs or the Thunder, even if they have them? They're not. So right. Let's be real. And hey, wherever he ends up, if it is out West, that team is not beating the Spurs or Thunder. I just don't see it happening. So be that what it may, wherever these sweepstakes end up, if it is a Western Conference team, you're still having to climb Everest to be able to dethrone either the Spurs or the Thunder as Western Conference champs.
Yeah, it's what I said yesterday. It would be the geriatric Warriors if they did get this kind of old all-star team together. Look, it'd be fun to watch. I'd love to see it. But by the way, Anthony Davis, the Wizards say they're not going to deal him. So, like, they're not interested right now. I guess that could always change with a phone call, Jensen, and see what you could really try to entice them. But this idea that LeBron's just going to be able to get the band back together and go get AD, who he had the title with in the bubble year, and we're all going to reunite now at Golden State, that does not seem to be happening there. So I wonder if Anthony Davis is not a piece that's movable right now from D.C., if that changes what Golden State thinks. Because I would think at some point, if you're there in management, you're going, well, if I can get X, Y, and Z, then it would make sense to bring LeBron in. But if you can't get those other pieces, I do wonder, does it still make sense? I think those are the questions now that we're going to see for certain teams. Like, what's the value of bringing in LeBron James? Are we trying to win, or are we trying to sell tickets? Look, I was there in D.C. when Michael Jordan came back, and it was fascinating. But you had no visions of grandeur that team in D.C. was going to be able to win anything substantial, right? So it became a spectacle to go watch, arguably to me, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan play up close and personal. And it was a thrill. That could still be the draw now for a front office, but to actually win, that is a completely different conversation if you cannot assemble that old All-Star team. When it looks like if Anthony Davis is not going to be moved, they're not going to be able to put together the type of club that I think people are theorizing out there in social media and the like. So, Jensen, I'm with you. I don't know where this is going to end for LeBron, but at this stage, It's a great show. I mean, it's a great sideshow to watch. But again, if you're trying to win, I think that's a completely different story. We're going to try to win tonight in the World Cup, and that's going to be USA taking on Bosnia-Herzegovina. We're $7 betting favorites to do that tonight against Santa Clara. It'll be an 8 p.m. start. We also have England taking on the Congo DR as well. Belgium's going to take on Senegal today. So we got three big matches here, but we talked about it yesterday. They're about the same number that France had against Sweden. We saw what France did. Are we that good, Jensen? Are we that good to impose our will against a lesser foe, which is what the betting markets are telling us tonight with Bosnia-Herzegovina?
So reminder for people, because of the knockout round, it is different on the money line. That minus 255 price is for the 90 minutes in regulation for the United States to be able to win and advance. The actual to advance price is that $7 favor that you talked about. And I think that is accurately priced. England, for what it's worth in comparison, is a $10 favorite to qualify, right, meaning to advance there to the round of 16. Okay, so if we look at where the United States matches up tonight, I would feel comfortable, Dave, laying the 255. As far as the 90-minute money line price, I believe that's accurate. However, I would want to parlay that with an over 2.5. I think that is more bang for your buck. I do believe that they're going to try and send numbers forward to not allow Bosnia to maybe park the bus, kind of get this thing as late as possible level, and then maybe be able to have a surprise counter to get by them. Here's what I would envision, Dave. We nailed the exact score in Norway and that game against Ivory Coast yesterday, 2-1. Yep. I think you can get back to a USA 2-1 in this one. That gets you to that over 2.5. That also gets you that United States money line. If you want, I think the Balogun or the Pulisic anytime goal score is great value. I would fully anticipate that this is a blitz from the first handful of minutes to try and get Bosnia on their heels. You want to have the crowd into it all moments of this match. What theater it's going to be. I mean, the crescendo up to it. Remember, too, we're going to know headed into our match whether it will be Belgium or Senegal that you'd match up in the round of 16, because that match is directly ahead of the United States later on tonight. So a lot of theater to watch beforehand, and a lot of a crescendo into what should be an outstanding atmosphere later on tonight.
You know, it is interesting the way we're being perceived by the rest of the world when it comes to soccer, right? And then I kind of feel like we're looked at like, hey, this is a cute story. They're the home country. Look at good old US of A, kind of growing up a little bit, but, you know, are they really France? Are they really Spain? Are they really Argentina? You know, like, and I think that the rest of the world is still waiting to answer those questions. So I mentioned in the context is almost the same betting number as France yesterday. Like, if we can start to do that, and then maybe now we're getting a little bit more respect for our first round win after what we just saw happen to Germany. So, like, maybe in that fuller context, if we can go out there and lay a big number tonight, you know, easily win a match 3-0 like France did yesterday, if people would start to then go, hey, as we move forward, maybe they're not just a cute little story that you pat them on the head. They're growing up. We put them at the big table, not at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. That will be interesting to see what happens today. JVT is going to join the program next year. Jensen, going to talk all things NBA free agency, but some big trades, big moves, Kawhi Leonard and the like. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Going to talk some John Deere Classic in the PGA Tour. I've got a confession I got to make to you, Jensen, a little bit later on in the program. But right now, Jonathan Von Tobel joins the program. Of course, he is the co-host of Money Moves 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern right here in the network, and also hosts the Pods to the Future podcast with Mitch Moss, and you can check that out wherever you get your podcast. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. JVT, great to have you on the program again today. Before we get to all the changing places here in the NBA, you had a night last night in the World Cup. Has World Cup fever officially taken over Jonathan Von Tobel?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if I've ever explained this at length to our audience, but My grandmother was born in Durango, Mexico. My mom was the first of our generation on that side to be an American. So I have a very strong affinity for Mexico football, and was out yesterday at the Arts District checking it out. And dude, L3 delivered, man. That was a freaking awesome game. They were all over. they were all over them at the start. And then to watch the excitement to finally kind of break the curse, get an elimination win, move on to the fifth game. It's a ton of fun. And now they're going to sit back, likely get England over the weekend. We'll see. England's like, what, like 325 on the three-way against Congo. But that was really cool, man, watching them finally get that done. And, you know, I know we were talking about the call. Have you guys seen some of the footage from the streets out there in Mexico City? Like, it, you would think they won the actual World Cup. So it seems like a big emotional letdown, but that was really cool yesterday.
JBT, that was a similar scene to what happened in Cleveland when LeBron brought the NBA title home, and we had rumored to be over a million people in the streets. I still don't know if that is accurate, but it's a perfect segue as we head into NBA free agency. Of course, one of the big dominoes that will fall eventually is where will LeBron play next? Checking some of the prediction markets this morning, JBT, I'm sure probably not a surprise to you. Golden State, the highest probability, at least at this point, followed by Cleveland. Just your assessment, first time we've been able to talk to you about it now that the move is official. Your thoughts on his destination, where it makes sense, and maybe is there a futures angle regardless of where LeBron goes and his next team in 2026?
Yes, I think there is. And I do think it's somewhat tied to, you know, he has to stay in the Western Conference, has to go to Golden State to an extent. But I'll just say this, like, I think it's Golden State. I mean, first and foremost, you know, you read the tea leaves. I'm sure you guys have talked about this as well. Rich Paul is not going to tell a client in Draymond Green to turn down $27.7 million unless he knows another client and LeBron James is heading in that direction and that his team needs the financial flexibility to make that happen. So I think that there's really no question. I thought Windhorst had a good report the other day, and the way that he phrased it was, like, the Warriors are acting with knowledge. Teams like the Cavaliers are coming in last minute now knowing he's a free agent to try to woo him. But I do think that LeBron is going to be a Golden State Warrior because I don't think that Rich Paul would direct one of his clients to turn down nearly $30 million unless they knew that that was going to happen. So I think he's going to be a member of the Golden State Warriors. And then to build on that, so you talk about a futures angle. It's funny, Jensen, it's actually not the team that he is going to go to, but I'm just more curious, you know, let's say he goes to Golden State. What does that do to the rest of the Western Conference? Would a team like, for example, the Minnesota Timberwolves get knocked down the board? And then would I take a piece of Minnesota to win the Western Conference? Right now, the Timberwolves are 12-1, just ahead of the Warriors at 18-1. But if the Warriors do get LeBron James, the market freaks out and maybe puts them ahead of Minnesota, and we get a little bit more juice for our squeeze when it comes to the Timberwolves. That's the direction that I would go and sit back and wait for. And just wait in general, because at the end of the day, you're probably still going to get a little bit more, if not just exactly where the Timberwolves are at. I like that move for LaMelo Ball. I like this shift in philosophy for Minnesota. I like that they have gone from this big, bruising, hulking, slow team built on their defense to a now guard-oriented, athletic defensive team that can get up and down the floor and keep with some of the archetypes of the teams that are ahead of them here in the Western Conference, right? OKC, backcourt-oriented, long and athletic. San Antonio Spurs, a long, athletic team. Like, that's what you need to do, I think, at this conference, and I think the Timberwolves are doing a great job at retooling that. And I think if LeBron goes to the Warriors, like I expect, they'll probably get some more out of Minnesota, and that's what I'm waiting for.
Speaking of market adjustments here, Jonathan, how about the adjustment here in the Eastern Conference now that Kawhi Leonard has left L.A., has been traded back to the sixth in Toronto, and I don't know that Fred Van Fleet and Pascal Siakam is going to be there, but all of a sudden they're 8-1, the third betting choice to win the East next year. Is that the right move here with getting Kawhi at this stage of his career?
Dave, they should probably be the second choice on the board of the Eastern Conference. You could argue they should be the favorite in my mind. Like, I think that when you look at this, because here's the thing too, and what I'm accounting for is not the Knicks, because I had a bunch of Knicks fans like tweeting at me, like, you know, with questionable looks when I tweeted this out, because Zach Cohen brought this up, that I think that this team and the Toronto Raptors has the potential to be the best in the Eastern Conference. My question is, why are the Celtics continuing to get priced the way that they are? I mean, they are +260 favorite in the Eastern Conference right now. all signs are pointing to a divorce with Jaylen Brown. And if you're following those tea leaves, a lot of the reports are saying that they want draft compensation. Well, if they get the package that they want, which is draft compensation and a somewhat young player, you're not replacing Jaylen Brown this year, which means it seems, and there's been reporting on this somewhat, that maybe they're strategically set up, the Celtics, to have maybe another gap year and set up for what's going to be a better year next season afterward. So if that's the case, why in the world are we talking about this team at plus 260 with a somewhat decent-sized gap between them and the Knicks and an even bigger gap between them and the Raptors? This Raptors team, as currently projected, looks like it's going to be an absolute force to be reckoned with when you look at what that depth chart's potentially going to be. I mean, think about the actual athleticism and skill you've got on the wings with RJ Barrett, Kawhi Leonard, and Scottie Barnes. You have Colin Murray-Boyles, who was untouchable in that trade with the Clippers, who's going to play some small ball center and play at that five spot, who's very, very good. And then Emmanuel quickly running the show there. And they still got to keep a good chunk of some of their young guys, too, like a Jacoby Walter, who I was hoping was going to come over the trade with the Clippers. Jamal Shedd, like, this is a team that is going to be a problem in the Eastern Conference. That think about where we're at, too, with the other ones, guys. Like, the Miami Heat, they're a fine team, but I've talked to you guys about that. They're limited offensively, and the Raptors can match up very well with them as we're looking at both of these rosters on paper. The Pistons set themselves up to go land a big fish. Kawhi didn't want to go there. LeBron's one of those fish, and it looks like he's going to go to Golden State. And it sounds like Tyler Hero might stick around in Milwaukee, and it looks like the Pistons might be sitting there with no chair when the table serve when the music stops. So I think this is setting up nicely for the Toronto Raptors. I think you could argue there is value at 8-1. There is the big if with the availability of Kawhi Leonard. But it's still worth pointing out that Kawhi had his strongest year in terms of availability this last season, playing in 65 games, the most since 2024. And I think that it was a very underrated season where he was on the fringes of an MVP race. They're going to be really freaking good.
That's an incredible take, JVT. Glad that you kind of illustrated it the way you did. Just to kind of intermingle with your soccer fervor right now, I just threw together a U.S. money line, England money line, and Raptors to win the East. That gets them to 15-1 in case we wanted a little more value. But that's outstanding to hear it from you. Okay, to kind of button up on where we are, at least in the first handful of days now of the NBA offseason in earnest, are there players still available that move the needle for you, whether it be free agency? I know you touched on the Jaylen Brown domino, and if that does eventually fall, what that might do. Let's stick with free agents. Any free agents still out there or the ones that have freshly signed or agreed to terms that move the needle for you for an actionable futures play?
There's not much right now, I think, at this point that would really move anything, because this free agent class, too, was kind of weak for the most part, right? So there wasn't really a ton outside of LeBron that's going to move something that's going to make you want to change your mind. But I'll note two things really quickly, Jensen. The first of which is, just to add real quick to Jaylen Brown, it sounds like Denver might be a spot for him. And if that's the case, that kind of shifts the board as well in the Western Conference. The initial strategy stays the same with the Timberwolves, but keep that in mind, because maybe there's some indicators that Nikola Jokic behind the scenes is like, all right, guys, like, we've been running this back for like 3 years since the finals and it hasn't really worked out, so let's do something. So I think that's something to watch as well. And prediction market-wise, I think there's a second choice on the board there last look for the Denver Nuggets to land him. But I think the other is just some of these fringe pieces that might be out there, whether it's via trade or others. Like, for example, Peyton Watson, former Nugget, if we keep with that track. It sounds like the Clippers might be sniffing around that. And, you know, if you look at what the Clippers are as a team, like, it's an interesting group of guys that they've got put together. They've shifted to this really young, kind of up-and-coming somewhat roster. You know, look overall what their starting five could look like with Darius Garland, Keaton Wagler, Brandon Ingram, Derek Jones Jr. Let's say they get Peyton Watson to slot in there. I don't think that's a team that can win the finals. But if they get Watson like they, like a lot of people think they're going to push for, I think that's like a playoff team. And so I'd be keeping an eye on the yes-no playoff odds when those come up, because I think a team like the Clippers want to push for the playoffs. But I also think that they're a pretty young and intriguing group that has some really strong upside. Just to make the playoffs would be, I think, an easy ask for a team like that should they land a guy like Peyton Watson.
Interesting right now. Nuggets, the fourth betting choice out West, 13-1. If Jaylen Brown got there, I'd love to see where that number went. You do host the Positive Future podcast here with Mitch Moss here on the network. Great show that you guys have. When you look at the futures market of the East, and I know that right now a lot of people seem to like Indiana to be able to bounce back. They're 16-1, a little bit down the board once you get past the Miamis and Torontos now. Is there any value deeper in the Eastern Conference? Is this going to be more of a free-for-all this year? Or do you think at the end of the day, I'm with you on the Celtics. I can't imagine people are buying that number. Can we get to some deeper double-digit numbers at realistic shots?
I mean, I think it's somewhat hard. I mean, the top candidate would be Atlanta, right? Just because the Hawks have proven to be a team that they're going to be well coached. Quinn Snyder had them playing extremely well. They're going to have some real strong upside on defense, and that's probably the deepest I would go.
25-1 is where you can find the ATL today. Go Mexico. Keep it rolling, JVT. Enjoying the show here with you and Stormy here, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the network. Give him a follow on X at me, JVT. I've got an Usher confession. It's coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
Circus football contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Las Vegas in order to play after your required in-person registration. Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere in the United States, and schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Three right there. Millions, Grandissimo, Survivor, of course. Get in there. They're fun to play. Boy, if you win them, it's going to be a life changer, that's for sure. Jetson Lewis, I get to do the show with you every day, a professional athlete. You gut it up, and you go out there every day when you're a pro, and you become a pro. That's what, you know what it's like to be a pro's pro. I pride myself that when I'm doing things outside of work, that I try to do it kind of by that same mantra. So I do have an Usher confession to make. Yesterday, because I'm getting ready to go on vacation, as you know, and I've got this golf trip planned with two of my buddies that I've grown up playing competitive tennis with in high school and certainly golf through the decades here. And you got to be in shape. You got to have your golf game in shape. So what do I do? I go up here to Kenny Perry's golf course, very close to where I am right now at the Mint Gaming Hall, and I'm going to get in my swings. I'm watching Serena Williams at 44 years young yesterday out there battling younger women and holding her own. And I'm inspired. I'm like, I'm going to get out. Look, it's a beautiful day if you're watching this on FanDuel TV, on YouTube television as well. And there's nobody out there. So I say, when I go to get my bucket of balls, I say, hey, where is everybody? And they said, it's just too hot. And I said, come on. And the guy looks at me and he goes, you're tough. I know you can handle it. And the kid that's behind the desk, Jensen, tells me that he's only grouped up about 50 balls in the entire day because it's just too hot. So you know what I do? I get two small buckets of balls, and they're like lighting up. They're beaming up. Then I'm going to give them a little bit more business here, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to go grind in the range for two small buckets, Jensen. I mean, I've been playing golf in Las Vegas for 5 years. The heat doesn't bother anybody. I go out there, Jensen, and I'm mashing it. I'm hitting it. It's going a long way. Maybe it's the beautiful summer, and it's 100 degrees. In the second bucket, I felt it, man. All of a sudden, it just hit me. And I didn't have any water. I didn't have any Gatorade. I had nothing with me. And Jensen, I did something I never do. I tapped out. I didn't finish the second bucket. I left about 10 balls out there in the range, and I was too embarrassed to go in to ask for water. So I left the course, went to the nearest gas station, bought three Gatorades, chugged one of those while I was waiting in line to pay for them, because I finally felt my age. I felt like an old radiator that was overheating. Jensen, I got to go play 18 holes 2 days in a row next week. I couldn't get through 1 hour on a range session yesterday. Am I in deep trouble for my golf trip coming up next week?
I don't know. But if you are feeling the heat now, you may be like Jordan Spieth, where you're a little concerned, you know, with people that may be wagering on knowing you haven't been swinging a golf club, that if that video does get out there, which it has now, to coast, if the boys are watching back home, they've now already got a little sense as to where the game actually is. Not sure if there's a bettable market on the that stakes or skins game you've got coming up next week, but you and Jordan Spieth may be in the same category now about worrying about what people are betting on as far as these videos are concerned.
I will not tap out. I will play all 36 holes, people. It was a sad day that your mortality, you can feel it. You can feel Mother Nature taking its toll on you right there in real time, and it happened to be yesterday. You're speaking of Jordan Spieth, who's getting ready to play the John Deere Classic here, Jensen, And Jordan had some very interesting comments, and it kind of set the golf world ablaze. Speaking of heat that got to me here in Kentucky in almost triple digits, I think Jordan raised the temperature as well with these comments.
I mean, I think the one thing that I'll point out is I do think that betting in golf is something that's going to have to be tackled here soon, because I don't know how much of, say, the Wyndham scenario was the fact that it was enticing to bet the field versus Wyndham on Sunday in a legalized betting state. And you could have had people out there that are essentially, you know, have $100 to $10,000, depending on who it is, on the field versus somebody else. And in golf, it's tricky because you could actually impact the outcome if you wanted to. It may not last very long, but you could impact a shot if you wanted to. I don't know of another sport that you could impact as a fan like you can golf. So I don't know how much of that's having to do with it, if it's different than it used to be. I've also played rounds with guys who were not treated well 10, 15 years ago. So I don't think it's a crazy new thing.
It's kind of shocking when you hear those things from Jordan Spieth. By the way, really like the guy. Glad that he's up there. He's very measured, obviously. But to throw out some of those things, Jensen, of like, hey, people were just betting against Wyndham Clark, and that's why he was getting that United States Open. Or perhaps people were upset that he trashed the Oakmont facility in a locker. Maybe perhaps Scottie Scheffler was going for the career Grand Slam. There could have been other factors at play. To blame that all on gambling seemed very out of character for a guy that actually does stuff with FanDuel Sports, and we're happy that he does that. But you're in bed with gambling, you're promoted by a gambling company, and then you're blaming gambling for some of the behavior. You don't mention alcohol or other factors, Jensen, and you're just kind of spitballing out there. Kind of, hey, maybe somebody's got $100,000. What? Like, where does this stuff come from? But this is clearly in his mind, and I'm sure he's not alone, that the perception is gambling is now the reason for bad fan behavior.
His last three posts on his social media account, which has 1.9 million followers, Dave, Missouri, can't wait for our matchup tomorrow at Dallas Cowboys. That was back November 26th of 2025. Opt into this offer at FanDuel Sportsbook for the game, and happy Thanksgiving. On April 13th, tee off for $200,000 in bonuses, played Jordan Spieth's Fairway Frenzy and more in the face-off spring bonus swing. Play games, win cash, and earn rewards. His last post, April 23rd, a little at Dallas Cowboys defense and a homer for the at Dallas Stars. Am I asking too much? At Caleb Downs, at FD Sportsbook. This was one of the more maniacally ridiculous takes I've heard from an athlete. In no world, Dave, was anyone in the final round of the United States Open in the majority rooting against Wyndham Clark because of wagering. No, they were rooting for Scottie Scheffler. And maybe they probably had some sort of bets, but we're not going to subscribe to the fact that everybody and their brother following the final group had tickets on Scotty, okay, or had some ridiculousness of prop wagers that would lead him to make a comment like that. He is going to be walking it back and then some. There are going to be some questions of maybe, hey, we'll adjust how we answer those betting related questions moving forward. But let's face it, Dave, we were not there at the Colosseum in Rome when they were casting lots way back before the dawn of time. And gambling has been happening in one way or another on competition. Yes. since humans were able to make it possible. So I don't want to hear another athlete talking about this kind of ridiculousness, because that's what it is. And so good luck to Jordan Spieth this week. I can't wait to see what his next post on social media is promoting, some sort of golf competition that has wagering attached to it.
And again, I mean, the part about, you know, fans can affect the shot if they wanted to, and it wouldn't last very long, but they could, was bizarre. Like, are you throwing it out there for people to actually, like, It seems like this is something that clearly it's in your head at some point. Like, where did that come from? I have no idea. Again, you know, people talking to fans, they're doing it a lot of times after the shot. You know, we've heard the mashed potatoes and getting the hole. These are all post-swing things that we've seen. And if that's the offenses that are being out there because of you want to put that on gambling, is very, very bizarre. Look, I mentioned going on this golf trip, a couple of my buddies that I've been with, one of them that I'm going to be on this trip with, we were at the United States Open in 1999, the year Payne Stewart, the late great Payne Stewart won with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. And we were gambling on every single player that came through as we sat in the grandstand in 1999. We didn't have a phone. There were no apps. There was no FanDuel. There was no DraftKings. We were doing that on our own back in 1999. So your point about this has been going on forever is exactly that. This is nothing new. So if we want to blame it now on this new boogeyman that is gambling, and whether, you know, whether it's us or anybody else, you can do that. It's not accurate. This has been going on. Everybody knows this in the golf world in some way, shape, or form for generations. So this is nothing new. For Jordan to throw that out there, quite honestly, is a little bit irresponsible. All right, when we come back, we got a lot more to get to. Certainly some World Cup talk, a lot of Major League Baseball and beyond. Come on back. Hour number two straight ahead on VSiN by the Books. That's a great swing. I'm ready to go.